Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
I want to talk to you this morning about fear. And I'm going to read to you, you need not turn it up, 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you this morning that you expose the deceits of the enemy in your word. Not only expose them, Lord, but you give us the means to be released from these bondages and these deceits. I pray that from that selfsame word this morning, Lord, you might bring light into each of our lives to help us, to establish us, and to release us from those bondages of Satan. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. There are three main areas that Satan uses to bind us. First of all, the sin. Secondly, there is sickness. And thirdly, there is fear. And I think these are the three main areas that the enemy uses in attacking us. And this morning, I want to talk to you about fear. Some people get fearful when you start preaching. I know people have got fearful at times because they've told me when I've been preaching the prophetic word and talk about the things that are going to come upon this old earth. Other people get fearful when you preach about the economic situation and the inevitable collapse which is sometime up ahead. Others get fearful when you preach of sin and the consequences of sin and the inevitability of hell for those who refuse to do anything about sin. But the problem, of course, that causes fear in situations like this is not the message that I preach. The problem is in the attitudes of those who are listening. Because fear comes from deep within one's heart. The message doesn't need changing, it's the attitude that needs to be changed. And this particularly applies when we come to the question of fear. I guess most of you have heard the old saying that a brave man dies but once, but that the coward dies 1,000 deaths. And the reason for this is very obvious, that the brave person does not create fear within themselves, whereas the coward chooses to create fear. The wonderful illustration of this, of course, is the story I use so much in so many illustrations of David and Goliath. But it points this particular story very clearly. This 9-foot giant's out there in front of the Israeli army, screaming out his abuses and challenges to them. And fear grips the whole of the Israeli army, from the king down to the junior soldier. Such fear that it says they run to their tents and hide every time the giant appears. It's a terrible story of fear. But young David comes into the camp, not a soldier, not trained, comes to bring some food to his soldier brothers, and he sees this giant out there, and instead of becoming fearful, a different reaction takes place in him. Something stirs in him, and he gets angry. His reaction is one of righteous indignation that that man, as he said, that uncircumcised Philistine should be out there hurling abuse at the armies of the living God. And so we have two attitudes, two reactions. What's the cause of these two attitudes? What's the cause of these two reactions? I don't think there's any doubt about the causes. As far as Israel was concerned, and the king and the soldiers of Israel, every time they saw that giant, they put themselves against that giant. And they saw themselves as so puny, so incapable of handling the strength and the might and the prowess of that giant. Whereas when David came along, he didn't put himself against the giant, but he put the giant against his God. And he put his own strength to one side, and he wasn't concerned with that, and he just considered Goliath as against the power of the living God. When the Israelites put themselves against the giant, they created fear within themselves. But when David put the giant against God, he created confidence in himself, for his whole desire, his whole attitude, his whole thought was to put his complete trust in the God of Israel. In fact, it says in the story that when he went out to attack the giant, he was so confident, he actually ran to meet the giant. Tremendous story. One group chose fear. David chose confidence. There's another story of David where we get the same lesson. You might like to turn it up with me. It's in 2 Samuel 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5, and verse 19 through to the end. 2 Samuel 5, verse 19. And David inquired of the Lord, so I better read 18. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon thine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there were left their images, and they left their images, and David and his men burned them. Verse 22. The Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going or hearest the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gaza. Now here's a similar sort of story. First time, the Philistines come up against David, and he seeks the Lord, and the Lord says, go and attack them frontally. I'll be with you. And he does so, and he defeats them. They come up against him again. Similar circumstance. You think he could confidently go out and do the same thing, but no. He seeks the Lord again. The Lord said, well, this time I want you to go around behind them and set an ambush. And at a certain time, when I give you the clue, or you hear that sound of marching, the wind and the mulberry trees, then I want you to attack and I will give you the victory. And once again, he gets the victory. So there's an important lesson here that we see, that even though circumstances might seem identical, we don't always do the same thing. We don't just repeat ourselves. But each time we need, in every circumstance in life, to seek the guidance of the Lord, because his guidance varies continually even though we can't conceive why it should. But I think the main point I want to get out of this little story of these two attacks of the Philistines is that David did not fear when a large army came up against him and his band. Rather, he simply took the problem to the Lord. Now, if David had feared, I'd like to suggest that probably he wouldn't have taken the matter to the Lord. If David had feared, I doubt if he would have had confidence in the Lord. But it was because he did not fear that he went to the Lord. You see, fear is the enemy of faith. Can I say that again? Fear is the enemy of faith. Now, we are commanded in this word of ours not to fear. Scripture has many exhortations and instructions commanding us not to fear. For instance, in Matthew 24 and verse 6, Jesus warns of wars and rumors of wars that are going to come upon this whole world. But he says not to be alarmed, or in the Amplified it says not to be fearful, not to be afraid of these things. And consistently throughout Scripture that same warning comes to us not to be afraid. In these end day times, men out there, men's hearts are going to be petrified with fear. No may be about that. But the Lord said in Luke 21 and 26 that we don't have to be petrified with fear. Let me just read Luke 21 and verse 26 to you. Luke 21, 26. Jesus said, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. But in verse 28 he says, and when these things begin to come to pass, this is talking to us, then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Men's hearts failing them for fear when the terrors of the judgments come upon this earth. But for we who are the Lord's, we don't look at those things in fear. We look at the Lord, and we have confidence and assurance, for he says, look up, your redemption is close to you at this time. Then in Matthew 6, the Lord continues to give us a clue regarding this matter of fear, particularly in these end times, when there is going to be an economic upheaval, when there are going to be wars, even beyond what we've seen already. And Jesus said, seek ye first what? The kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You won't have to worry about other things. You won't have to be fearful about other things. You won't have to be concerned and upset and anxious and fearful. Because if you seek the kingdom first, if you seek to come into relationship with me and walk with me and walk according to my word, then all the things that are necessary for you will be supplied to you. That's what confidence does. Fear robs you of your faith. Fear robs you of your confidence. But we who have confidence in the Lord are not concerned about the earthly affairs. They're going to take place. They're going to happen. But we're not concerned. We're not anxious. We're not apprehensive. We're not fearful about them. The Word also commands us not to be anxious. And the reason for these things is clear, because fear brings tension. And tension does many things in our life. One thing it does, it begins to strain our relationships. Another thing that it does, it brings sickness upon our bodies. Tension's a great causer of sickness of various sorts in the physical body. Another thing that it does is to bring confusion into our mind. People who fear greatly become confused in their minds. Their faith collapses. Their belief in God is shaken. and confusion begins to take over as fear gets a grip. Now, there's a reason why we need not fear. I'm going to read it to you in 1 John 4 and verse 18, then I'm going to explain it to you. 1 John 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Perfect love casteth out fear. What love is this talking about? It's talking about the love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for you. It's not talking about your love. It's talking about his love. And his love is perfect love. And it's there for you. It's there available for each one of you if you want to take hold of it. The love of Christ has been poured forth. We know it. We know the story. We know the story of how he came to express that love. We know the story of Calvary, of how he suffered on that cross because of his love for us. We know the whole story thoroughly. But do we receive it and let it work out in our lives? Do we make it meaningful in our day-to-day walk? That's always the $60 question. Perfect love casteth out fear. If you allow the love of God to get a hold of you, if you allow the love of God to function in you, in your daily walk, every day, every hour, consciously allowing the love of God to flow in your personal experience, and through the Holy Spirit he'll flow if you'll let him, then you will not be a person who has fear. If you can really accept his love towards you, that as he says, he will never leave you and will never forsake you. If you can genuinely believe that, you will not be a person of fear. Psalm 118 and verse 6 says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord is on my side, I shall not fear. Psalmist had confidence. And once you have that confidence in the love of God, then you won't fear. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be immediately released from your pressure, from your problem, from the circumstance that, if you allow it, could cause fear. But it does mean that ultimately you have that assurance within yourself that everything's going to work out for good. Well, it says that, doesn't it? All things for us, all things work together for good. For those of us who love the Lord and walk according to that calling that he's put in our hearts. So we have that confidence. We go through testings. We go through trials. We go through the dealings of God. We go through many things. We go through the pressures that the enemy puts upon us. We have these things. They're part of our life. There's no promise we will not have them. But we have a confidence that the end of them is going to be good if we walk with confidence in our God. Can you say amen? Peace is the opposite to fear and anxiety. Jesus gives us peace. In Ephesians 2:14 it says, for he is our peace. Christ is our peace. And peace is the opposite to fear and anxiety. Satan endeavors to give us fear. He endeavors to create fear and anxiety in each one of us. That's his job. That's his aim. That's his purpose. Because if he knows that he can get us fearing and anxious and apprehensive about anything, then it's only a matter of time and he'll break our faith down in the living God. Now, you choose which of the two you're going to have. You choose whether you're going to have peace or whether you're going to have fear. It's a personal choice. The enemy wants to give you fear. God wants to give you peace, and you personally choose which of the two you are going to have. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, the word says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's a key here. It's a beautiful verse. The next verse, verse 7, says, the peace of God shall guard your heart. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then it says, the peace of God shall guard your heart. See, the problem's in your heart. Fear comes out of the heart. Fear comes from down deep within a man. But you can be guarded about with peace if you follow the procedure which God gives you. What's the procedure again? Prayer and thanksgiving. When fear attacks you, when concern, anxiety, apprehension attacks you, get into a praise session. Start praising God. Start thanking Him for all that you have. Man, that's an easy thing to do. We have so much in this country. We have so much that's good. Some of us tend to concentrate on the problems. But only we concentrate on what we have. You've got so much to thank God for. You know, we could be living out in the drought-stricken areas around the equator today, and a number of nations starving to death, seeing our children and our grandchildren starving to death, full of disease, nowhere to live, no clothes to wear, no food to eat, no hope for the future. We could be living behind some communist country under that rigid control with no liberty and no freedom. We could be in 1,000 different places in this world. We're in one of the best nations in the world. No maybe about that at all. We have clothes. We have food. We have homes. We have shelter. We have freedom. We can do what we like, go where we like, work where we like. We are free people. There are very few free people in the world today. Very few. We are free people. We've got so much to thank God for. Outside of our salvation and the whole of our spiritual walk with God. And the word tells us when fear begins to come, when apprehension comes, when the tension that comes from fear and anxiety begins to come upon you, break it away from you. Start praising God. Start thanking Him with thanksgiving, it says. Let your requests be made known unto God, and His peace will guard your heart. What if you can believe that as a very practical solution to this need that comes upon us when fear becomes a factor in our life? Does that seem practical to you? I hope it does. To some people, the fears they have seem so great that the solution I've just given from the Word of God seems too weak, too unlikely to work, because they're already looking at the giant and putting themselves against the giant instead of putting the giant against God. It's all a matter of attitude. It's all a matter of your personal choice. Now, it has to be balance in all of this. Some people, understanding this truth, go into imbalance. And they say, well, God's going to provide. I'm just seeking the kingdom of God and He'll do everything else. He said so. And that, of course, is irresponsibility and imbalance. Because we trust God, that doesn't mean we have a lack of concern. That doesn't mean we do not look to our responsibilities and fulfill our responsibilities. We don't just make our mind a blank and leave everything to God. In all of our walk with God, there is a Godward part and there is a manward part, and the two blend together. So let's keep this in balance. But this morning, I want you to receive peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. particularly if you've got some apprehension or concern, some pressure that's causing fear to come on your life. I want to read to you what the Lord Jesus said just a few days before he was crucified on Calvary. And in John 14:27, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let me read it again. "Peace I leave with you." This is John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Let not your heart be troubled." There's the heart again. "Neither let it be afraid." Jesus has offered us peace. It's there if we want it. Satan's the great thief. He wants to steal it from us. Christ wants to give it to us. Wonderful peace. Satan wants to steal it from us and bring us into fear, bring us into the confusion and destruction, torment that can come from fear. If Satan's stolen your peace from you for some reason this morning, then I believe you can do something about it. I believe right this morning we can break the bondage of fear and release you into the peace of the Lord. And once we've done that, from that moment on, whenever Satan attacks you and tries to generate fear within you, you know what to do. You break it off immediately and you get before the Lord and start praising him, worshiping him, thanking him, letting your requests be known, and drawing upon that peace which he's promised to give to you. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart."